Good evening to you all, and welcome. My name is Patricia Avery, and I'm the chair of the NAACP Political Action Committee, and I will be introducing you to you this evening, our moderator. However, first, I would like to introduce to you some very important people that will be helping us out this evening. Directly in front of me, we're a little off to my side, are our timekeepers. My partner and vice chair of Political Action Committee, Michelle Cooper, and the league member, Ernie Gellerud. The person to my left, to my right, is Lois Gellerud. And we will be accepting the cards that will be presented from the audience tonight. In the audience, we have people who are going to be helping collect the cards, and if they would raise their hand. We have our NAACP Education Committee member, Pam Burnside, and the League of Women Voter member, Mary Benson. And we have Sue Phillips. And Carol Robez is also offered to help collect cards. At the door, you should have been greeted by our president, Reverend Troy Burks, and also Carol Robez, who's the Voter Service Committee Chair. I want to personally thank you all for your help this evening and to the audience for your participation this evening. Now I'd like to introduce to you the moderator for this evening, Dr. Sandra Cato. Dr. Cato is a native of Chicago, but has lived in Champaign County for 18 years. Dr. Cato received her Bachelor's of Arts in Psychology from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, Master's of Arts degree in Clinical Psychology from Roosevelt University, and her Doctorate degree of Psychology from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign in Education, specializing in Organization and Leadership. Dr. Cato is currently the director of the Upward Bound College Prep Academy since 1993, the Assistant Dean, Office of Minority Student Affairs at the University of Illinois, Chair of the NAACP Legal Redress Committee, and the member of the NAACP Executive Board. I want to welcome you all.
Good evening. Good evening. Okay. It works. Thank you, Ms. Avery. It is an honor to serve as your moderator this evening. On behalf of Reverend Troy A. Burks, President of the Champaign County Chapter of the NAACP, and Chair Carol Robez of the League of Women Voters of Champaign County, I officially welcome you to the Consolidated Elections Candidate Forum. Thank you, candidates, for accepting the invitation to participate in the forum, and thank you, community, for taking the time to help make this forum a success. We are all excited to hear from the candidates, so without further ado, I would like to begin. The format will be as follows. Each candidate will have an opening statement of no more than 2 minutes in which they address their qualifications, reasons for running, and if time permits, their top priorities if elected. This will be followed by issue questions from the audience. Candidates will alternate in answering questions. With respect to the candidates for mayor, candidate Swihart, who won the coin toss?
The mayor actually said it will be, he will allow it to be up to Mr. Gerard.
Okay, and Mr. Gerard? Candidate Gerard? You have the option to determine if you would like to go first or second as it relates to questions.
Second.
And candidate Gerard has elected to go second as it relates to questions. With respect to the candidates for Champaign County School Board, they each pulled numbers and are currently and will be seated in the order of the number that they pulled. As such, they will respond to questions pursuant to their seating order. Following the questions, Each participant will have 1 minute for a closing statement. Timekeepers will help ensure each speaker stays within the time limit allotted. We will begin with the candidates for mayor, and at approximately 7:50, they will entertain a final question and present their closing statements. We will then transition to the candidates for school board. At approximately 8:48, they will entertain their final question, present closing statements, and that will conclude our forum. Candidates will kindly refrain from any negative attacks on the other candidate, will not mention the other candidate by name, and will speak only to what he or she plans to do if elected to office. The league claims copyright ownership of any tapes or transcripts produced. No voice, image, or other duplications of the forum may be used by any candidate's representative or campaign in any advertising relative to their respective campaigns. Finally, candidates, as a friendly reminder, please remember to turn your microphones on when speaking and off when you are done. Thank you. And candidate Gerard elected to go second. So, candidate Swihart, this question is for you. Oh, first he does his opening remarks for 2 minutes. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for the invitation to be here this evening. I think part of the important qualifications for mayor is what you've done in the community in the past, so I'm going to touch on that for my opening statement. I've been a lifelong resident of Champaign. I've been married to my wife, Kim, for 51 years this June. We have 4 children, all attending public schools and Parkland College. 1 graduated from the U of I. I served on many community boards, and also I'm a graduate of Parkland College, serving on the alumni board. I served on the Champaign Park District, where I am an honored Champaign Park Board, honorary Champaign Park Board member. My wife and I were presidents of the Centennial High School Band and headed a program to buy all brand new uniforms. That was about 3 brand new uniforms ago. I was the director of the All City Swim Meet. The Champaign Urbana Courier used to be a paper here. When they folded up, I directed it, taken over, and called it the All City Swim Meet, sponsored by the Champaign Police Department. I coached Little League for 14 years and girls softball for several years. Was chief of the YMCA Indian Guides for 2 years. Was chief fundraiser when Bonnie Blair got her start in international speed skating, and she turned that into 5 gold medals. We supported many local bands, and our son had a band called the Nines. We would have many as 18 kids in our basement practicing their music lessons. One of the members went on to win a platinum record for his band song, and they sent my wife and us a platinum record, which now hangs in my office. That's just a quick overview of some of the community events that I have been involved with. I spent 32 years on the police department, most of those years in the investigation division assigned to major cases and juvenile. I was assigned as juvenile officer to Central High and Centennial High School. As investigator, I was a lead officer along with the U of I police officer in getting a conviction of serial rapist on the campus. This was done using DNA evidence.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. They'll show you a sign when it's your time has expired. Thank you, Mayor. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. You may begin.
Thank you very much. My name is Don Gerard. I came to Champaign at the age of 3 in 1968. I attended Champaign schools, was an Eagle Scout and Boy Scout Troop 7, attended the University of Illinois, and I've taken courses at Parkland College. I've worked for the News Gazette, the Champaign Park District, a number of local businesses, and I'm now proud to be employed by the University of Illinois in facilities management. My children, Will and Chloe, attend Champaign schools. They're at Edison Middle School. I've coached my son through Peanut League, and now he's up playing for John Staub's summer league team I've worked with the CU Theater Program and other programs. 6 months ago, I set out as a citizen, a parent, and a taxpayer to campaign for office with the intent to save the jobs of our first responders in times of crisis and those who provide direct services to taxpayers. I set out to advocate for an open and transparent and fiscally responsible local government. And I hope to work with the local EDC to help create jobs by retaining and promoting local business and work to bring new businesses to Champaign. I still believe in those things. However, in the past 6 months, I've spent my days, my mornings, my evenings, my weekends, my holidays, my vacation days, meeting with my fellow citizens, and I feel an even greater call. I feel a great call to seek the honor of public service. I am running for the mayor of Champaign because I feel a calling to this, a calling to represent the community, to listen to the voices and dignify them and respond, to be a diligent, proud, and enthusiastic voice for the community, to be inspired and in turn inspire the community to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more. Thank you to those who have organized this event, the NAACP and the League of Women Voters and all involved, for giving me this voice tonight.
Thank you, Candidate Girard. The first question, I believe, Candidate Girard, you asked to be second. So, Candidate Swihart, what do you think is the mayor's role in Champaign?
That's me. We got how long to answer this? 1 minute?
Correct.
The mayor is virtually the face of the community. You're the highest elected official in the city of Champaign, so you're the one that's generally out meeting with the public, answering their questions and hoping to solve their problem. Most of my career, I've done problem solving and meeting with people, so that's why I enjoy this job. But also, you must work closely with the city staff, the city managers. Council sets the policy, city manager staff carries it out, so we must have a close working relationship to see that things are done. We meet on many intergovernment agencies. We meet jointly with the Park District and the University of Illinois on quarterly meetings. Also, as a mayor, you chair several community organizations, such as Regional Plan Commission. So it's a time-consuming job that you wear many different hats, but mainly it's meeting people, solving problems, and working with the council to set the policy for the city.
I too believe that the mayor needs to be the voice and the face of the community, the entire community. I believe, and I know that the mayor needs to be the conduit for the voice of the community to speak and work with the council to work with the city staff to carry out the will of the people in terms of what we want in our community, what we want in our city. I think the mayor's role of representational role is a very powerful one. I think it can be used in a multitude of ways, and I think it. I agree with the mayor. I think it does take a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of energy, and it's something that I would be very honored and proud to do.
Thank you, Candidate Girard and Swihart. This question is for Mayor Swihart. Mayor Swihart, what does CCAPP stand for? What do they do, and how are you involved?
CCAP.
Correct.
I believe it's called CCAP.
CCAP.
I'm drawing a blank on that, so.
You're drawing a blank? Sure, no problem. Candidate Girard?
I believe that's the Champaign Community and Police Partnership. And it's leaders predominantly of the African American community who work with representatives from the city to work with the police department to attempt to create a greater relationship between the police and the community. And were I elected, that's something that I have been very interested in. I know my friend Jamar Brown and some of the others involved in that, and it's something that I feel like is a real opportunity to build some bridges in our community, and it's something that I would very much like to be involved in.
Okay, thank you very much. Candidate Gerard, what does CC, well, you, the second question was, what does it stand for? You've explained that, but the second portion of that question states, what is their purpose and goals, and if elected, how would you be involved in their work?
As I said, I think their purpose and goals is to create a partnership with the members of the community, with the police department, to create a greater, a better environment between the two. To the effect which this has been effective, I'm not completely aware. I do believe that it is something that the mayor could be very much involved in, oversee, and work as a liaison between the community and the police. It is, as I said, it's something I'm familiar with. Many of the people who are involved in this program in the African American community and some of the city workers. So it is something that I would like to be involved in and help moderate.
Thank you, Candidate Gerard. I've been asked to ask the Candidate Swihart if you would like to state, now that you have a recall of what CCAP stands for, if you would like to share some thoughts as it relates to the question.
Well, I know it's an organization that's working together. We have several different community leaders on it trying to work for unity in the community. It's just one of several programs that we have where we're working towards that. We have some others that are working towards job improvements. The mayor is not directly involved in these meetings, but we get feedback from it. So I know it's been an ongoing, I think, for over a year that we've been doing this, and we have, like I say, a lot of community leaders that are trying to improve relationship where we can all have a better community. So,
thank you, both candidates, Gerard and Swihart. This question, we're back to Candidate Swihart. It states, in the News Gazette, it talked about campaign contributions. Would you be willing to share it before the election? Why or why not?
I've stated publicly that if my opponent is willing, I'd be willing to release all of my financial information tomorrow morning if that's agreeable. I have nothing to hide on my donations, and I think the public should be aware of where the contributions are coming from. So, yes, I'm in total agreement that and I think this law was just changed. We used to have to do that, and they changed the law to where now we don't until after the election.
Okay.
But I would be willing to do it right now.
Thank you. Candidate Gerard?
I will abide by the laws of the state election committees, and I will release as per the letter of the law. And I will respect those who have chosen to contribute to my campaign. We live in a community where there's lots of involved interests, and a lot of my support comes from those who would just as soon remain anonymous, and I will respect that because they have asked that till after the election, so that is what I will do. This will all be released and be made known after the election at the time when it is appropriate and required by law.
Thank you. Actually, the second portion of this question states, if you are in favor of transparency, will you release the names of all of your donors tomorrow?
I'm in favor of transparency in government, which means we see, as the taxpayers, every single penny that is spent in salary for every city employee, every vendor, every contract. That is the type of transparency I believe in. Transparency in asking me to reveal the names of those who support me in the community is irrelevant. It's apples and oranges. And I believe the playground dare is to say, is to do it first and set an example. That's what leadership would be. So I'm not going to stand by the I'll show you mine if you show me yours. I believe I have a respect for those who have chosen to support me, and I will respect that.
Thank you, Candidate Gerard. Candidate Swihart?
Like I said, I'm willing to release them, but I think to make a fair balance, but I think it is important where he's talking about transparency. I don't think you pick and choose in government when you're going to be transparent. It is a very important time when you're as a candidate that you also be transparent so that people know where you stand. So,
thank you, gentlemen. Candidate Swihart.
I have a question, point of order. being that he won the cost and said he would go second, does that mean he goes second on every question, or do we alternate?
Alternate. We should alternate.
I think so.
Sure. No problem. Urbana has raised their, candidate Gerard, Urbana has raised their motor fuel tax. Do you think Champaign should raise its local motor fuel tax?
At this time, I would not be in favor of increasing any taxes or fees, if at all possible. So I would be looking to other ways to streamline and make savings in our budget before putting further burden on the taxpayers.
Candidate Swihart.
Right now, we have a deficit that we're trying to cover, and we're looking at several possible ways. I'm sure we're going to come out with a balanced budget this year without tax increases, but notification we just got today that the state is looking at reducing the city's share of state money by 5%. If they do, that puts an extra hurt on cities. But we would be looking at cuts that are more regional in basis, like the hotel motel tax, where that's shared by visitors to the community. I can almost definitely assure you that the tax, like the property tax or the sales tax, I don't think there's any support for that, but we'd be looking at maybe, like I say, taxes that are paid by a large percentage of regional people coming into the area. But none of us know what's ahead of us in the next year or two with the condition the state's in.
Thank you. This is a two-part question, and we'll start with candidate Swihart. What is the process by which the city prioritizes the need for economic development in the city of Champaign? And the second portion is, how, in your opinion, does that economic development affect issues such as crime in any particular neighborhood?
Well, Champaign is very concerned about economic development, and we have a committee that works, you know, on that all the time. We make trips to our legislators and work with them on bringing business. But I think where it affects us most on crime is if you have people working and they're more satisfied. And I just list some of the things that we've been doing here locally with the minority community has been a big issue of jobs. And we have created a minority program director, a minority and female contractor. I had a luncheon with them. A minority and female business state certification program, unbundling larger programs, continuing dialogue, and I can mention several others here, but he's kept his time up. But the Champaign is working very hard to bring the minority community in so that they can bid for contracts.
Thank you.
See, now I know I always keep time, and now I know what.
Candidate Gerard?
Well, it is my understanding that the city will provide incentives and so forth to develop specific areas. Downtown Champaign is an excellent example where there's been a lot of development. There's been a lot of wonderful things that have gone on. I believe in terms of crime, the mayor is absolutely right. I think that we need to look at opportunities in all the districts across the city. We need to look at crime as a problem in all five districts. So we need to look at what types of things we can do, incentives to bring businesses to the different neighborhoods, the different districts, the different areas of the city, and have people in those neighborhoods working, have the infrastructure improve, better lighting, better streets, sidewalks. You walk through a lot of the neighborhoods in our city, and there's a tarmac road and no sidewalks. So it's that type of thing where if we're going to have the type of development, we should have it, work into the different regions, and that would obviously have a positive effect on the environment in terms of crime and otherwise.
Thank you. Slightly different question. How does economic development for the African American community fit into the city's budget? And I believe it's Candidate Gerard this time.
It's my understanding right now at this time there's 113 contracts with the city and none of them go to minority vendors. I would like to see perhaps some legislative incentives as was done at the state level to have more inclusion in that type of a role. I can't really speak for the city at this time. It is something I would personally very much like to see minority and women contractors have a chance to participate and compete in the market.
Candidate Swihart?
Well, that gives me a chance to continue what I was talking about on the initiative we have. But one of the things we're doing in the next step is develop a city minority and female business entities, update all of the forms to make it easier, update and the mandatory business directory, meet with the majority contractors, bonding insurance issues, and tell them how to bid. So what we're trying to do is train people to get certified so that they can bid, then unbundle some of the larger contracts so that they will have to shift some of the work to minority and female groups. So we're trying to give programs and the education to bid on these and be involved in these contracts. And that's where we've been lacking in the past, is the lack of knowledge on how to do it.
Thank you, gentlemen. Candidate Swihart, are you in favor of issuing pension obligation bonds? If so, how much, how long, and why?
No, and I think that was spoken to very clearly at one of the last council meetings that was brought up at a study session. It was voted down by the entire council, 8-0. One of my objections, it's very risky. We have one of the best credit ratings in the state, a AAA style, credit rating. Something like this could jeopardize that credit rating. Also, it involves borrowing out into the future, pushing our debt out maybe 10, 20, 30 years into the future. That's a lot what's going on in some of the other states. You do not borrow your way out of debt. We're trying to strategically cut on our budget and trim where we can so that we come out of this with feet on the ground and we're ready to move ahead, unlike many communities that's getting themselves deeper in debt. So it was a very risky move and not something the entire council wanted to do, and they voted it down.
Thank you. Candidate Gerard?
It is a notion that I proposed, and when I spoke with Jeff Brown, who was wrote the article in the News Gazette talking about the risk levels, I had lunch with him, and he said, yes, this is absolutely the type of an accounting maneuver that a city with a AAA credit rating would only want to employ if the city was facing cuts to direct services to taxpayers. Currently, we are going to maintain our AAA rating. We won't jeopardize that. We will stay sterling in our credit. However, we are looking at closing down the front desk of the police department, browning out a fire station. Currently, our public works, I don't know if anyone hit any potholes on the way here tonight. Currently, at this time of year, we would have 8 full-time employees filling potholes, 5 full-time and 3 temporary. Currently, we have 4, and they're being furloughed. These men are being laid off. They can't fill our potholes. So I agree with Mr. Brown. It's the type of accounting tactic that you use to avoid cutting services to taxpayers.
Thank you, gentlemen. Candidate Gerard, how will you, as mayor, support information technology infrastructure, and education?
Well, I think, you know, opportunities such as the UC2B program are just outstanding. It's something that once it's fully understood and once it's implemented, it's really is the highway of the future. And it's not only with educational opportunities, but with economic opportunities. And certainly bringing affordable internet to the city, providing that infrastructure to all the neighborhoods, bringing it to homes, connecting the schools is something that would just, to be able to share this type of information would just be an incredible boon to our entire city. So I think that's, you know, UC2B is a very good start. I know it's a little ways out, but the fact that we've secured that grant and the fact that we're forward-thinking enough to be looking at things like this, it's something that I'm very excited about, and I would like to be involved in those committees that are planning this type of infrastructure.
Thank you. Candidate Swihart?
As it's probably well known, I was the only council person that voted against this. One of the reasons was it's a $30 million grant from the federal government. It does not cover the entire city. It will include putting the 7 rings in the city and serving what they call the underserved neighbors. But that still means they have to purchase the service. So once you do that, then there's no more money coming from the federal government. It's going to be up to the cities, and it's a great deal of money, creating a new group of people to work on this, so a great deal of expense. So I just think you're going to hit a certain point when you're going to run out of money, and you're going to have a nice ring, but your only way you're going to do it is compete with or to tie in with AT&T and Comcast and some of the others that already have that, because they already have this built in.
Thank you. Candidate Swihart, what would you do to form partnerships that focus on employment and housing for people with felony convictions?
I think, you know, we're facing a housing problem with all, not just felony convictions. So, you know, I'd be supportive of some the housing developments, the single family, single residency apartments and stuff to take in people of low income, much like they have, and I don't know the name of it, in Urbana, but some building like that where it would cater to this type of people and low income people or single people. Not sure of the technical name of it, but that type of housing like they have in Urbana on that one building.
Thank you. Candidate Girard?
Well, I do very much believe in our country. We're founded upon the notion of giving people a second chance, and oftentimes we have found in our community that those who have felonies, whether they're low income or underserved or whether they make six figures, deserve a second chance and deserve to have the opportunities that the rest of us, do as well. I would certainly, I don't have any specific proposals for those types of things, but I am the type of person who has a very open and forgiving heart, and I think we need to not look at what the person has done in the past, but, you know, where they're going and what they intend to do. So I would certainly support those types of, working with those types of programs, working with any local investors and encouraging them to use this as an opportunity to provide, provide housing for these people and in turn for themselves to be a business person in our community.
Thank you, gentlemen. Candidate Girard, this question reads, what areas that the city is currently involved in would be more effectively done by private charities?
By private charities?
Correct.
I don't know that answer at this point. I think it's a little bit of a vague question. I mean, certainly I'm very much of the mind, especially in the role if I were to be elected mayor, of using that as a bully pulpit, as a representational role, as a voice of the community to involve the private sector to do more with to help our homeless, to help our poor, to help our youth sports programs, to help our youth theater programs, those types of things. Certainly, I am not aware of any specific programs that the city currently funds or finances that should go to the private sector.
Thank you.
Likewise, most of the work done by private charities is that city doesn't get that involved with it, although we do have a certain amount of money that goes, used to we split it up and let charities compete for it. We switched a couple of years ago and tried to target that money. For an example, Garden Hills area where we were having some problems, we targeted our money to that area to where we worked with the police, with the neighborhood residents. We put sidewalks in, we put streetlights in, and gave a great concentration to that area. We're doing the same thing with what we call the Bristol Park area. So we're targeting our money, but on the same token, we help a lot of these charities get federal grants or state grants. Just for an example, I think it's Women in Transition. We just helped them. We were the lead agency to get them over $1 million grant. We have excess housing in the community that the city has collected over the years. We're giving that portion of that to Humanity for Homes for Humanity, and then a portion of that will be given to the charity to sell or use as for $1 each so that they can use it for housing or for fundraisers. So we get involved kind of in the backcourt.
Thank you, gentlemen. Mayor Swihart. The mayor has stated that all 13 members of the city's executive team are under contract and are not subject to a 10% pay decrease. How does this differ from the furloughs pay reduction that frontline employees are forced to take?
Furloughs with the, and I didn't say 13 because I don't know what the net number, I just said the top staff has. But that being said, the union contracts, we deal with the bargaining every year. We reached an agreement to the other agencies, like the non-union employees are taking no raise. Some of the other unions are taking a 1% raise. The ASME unit was scheduled to get a 3.5% raise by contract. We tried to negotiate that down to where, you know, it would make our budget feasible to do the budget. Could not get agreement on that, so to reach the thought we need, it's not agreeable to give some employees none or 1%, and then one group getting 3.5%. So the furloughs are balancing that pay raise out.
Thank you. Candidate Girard.
The top 13 employees at the city of for the city of Champaign make a combined salary of $1.7 million. I was the one who proposed that we ask them to take a one-year 10% cut. I believe that if we're going to ask our firefighters, our police support, our people who provide the direct services to the city to take a cut, there should be a shared responsibility. Contracts or not, I think if you were making six figures, if you were making $171,000 a year and you've worked for the city for 25 years, I think if the people were to ask you, would you mind giving us a 10% cut just this one year to help us out through these times, I think that's something reasonable to ask, and that's why I asked it. I'm not talking about legislatively or this or that or contracts. I'm talking about a shared responsibility, and I'm talking about if we're all going to pitch in and it's all taxpayers' dollars, and that's the route we should take. And that's why I asked for it.
Thank you. Candidate Girard, what is your position on the Olympian Drive extension?
I believe there's a lot of opportunities for that. I think that the course I would like to look at is to preserve the businesses that exist there now, in particular the Prairie Foods Farms. I have a special place in my heart. I would have to be thoroughly convinced that it was going to be a great economic boon to pursue that further. I think there are lots of negotiations in regards to this that could be amenable to all parties concerned. So while I think it is, you know, a notion that's been in place for quite some time, and there are some opportunities, it's not necessarily something that we need to hard and fast destroy a local business, especially, you know, a local business that has so much culture and character and adds to our community.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Do you want me to answer that one too? Columbia Drive. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you for keeping me on point.
I think Columbia Drive is very important to the economic development of that area. I am in favor of it going across the tracks and then connecting with the interstate highway. I'm not interested in from Lincoln Avenue on to 45. So I don't have a dog in that fight. But it's very important, and I think the county board has worked very hard on getting a route that's agreeable to most of the residents. I think the Squire family is on board now, and it looks like they have a route through that section. But the reason it's important is that's an area that's going to develop, and that sits in an enterprise zone, which means Urbana shares in the business that's on the Champaign side of the track, and there's virtually no development on the other side. So once they start developing, then both sides will share out of any new development. So economically wise, it's a very important project for both communities and the county. Anytime you bring business to anywhere in the county, it benefits all of us.
Thank you, gentlemen. Candidate Swihart, what are you as mayor willing to do to prevent another Kiwan Carrington incident in this community? Proactive. What are you willing to do from a proactive stance?
Well, nobody can sit up here and say that we're never going to have another incident because we can't guarantee that. But again, going back, I think one of the key important things is what I stressed on before, where we're working with the minority community and the female community to create an atmosphere where we can have job improvements, because I think if you have ample jobs and ample chance to get these jobs, it lessens the frictions of a community. So this is an area where I think we've been short on the past on making sure that these get into the community, into the workforce, and it's an important thing that the city recognizes, and we're working very hard on to correct.
Thank you. Candidate Girard?
I agree with the mayor, and perhaps I'm a little bit naive. I've never really done this before, but in my, you know, going to the black churches, going to the community, going to District 1, and spending a lot of time talking with the activists and the community leaders, and I believe that an excellent start would just be quite simply for the mayor to be involved in the Champaign community and police partnership, and to play an active role as a liaison between those groups with the police and with the community itself. I think that the police want to do a good job. I know they want to do a good job, and they do a good job, but I think they can do an even better job if they have the trust and support of the community. And I think that all begins with talking, dialogue, and just flash stop at me. That all begins with talking and dialogue and having the groups coming together. And I think that the mayor is an opportunity. The role of the mayor is a very fantastic opportunity to bring those groups together, to be a voice for the community, and help everyone come together to work together to have the type of city we would like to have.
Thank you, gentlemen. Candidate Girard, do you think it's fair to give youth in Garden Hills jaywalking tickets when there are no sidewalks there?
Coincidentally, I was just canvassing out there last weekend, and I spent about 4 or 5 hours, and I fortunately did not get a jaywalking ticket, but I walked down the middle of the street because there are no sidewalks there. So no, I don't think it's fair at all. I think that if we're going to those communities, certainly we want everyone to be safe, but if you go walk through Garden Hills, there's no place to walk if the ground is a bit muddy or wet or so forth. So, I'm happy that I didn't get a jaywalking ticket. I think it's unfortunate for the citizens of those neighborhoods who do.
Thank you. Candidate Schweihart.
I don't know if they are, but if they are, I don't think it's really called for, because there is no place to walk in there. If you walk on the side of the road when there's no sidewalks, and this winter there's been tremendous snow blanks. But being that said, that's one of the problems in that neighborhood, is people congregate in the middle of the street and then refuse to move. So I don't know what exactly the tickets were being written for. If they're for blocking the street and holding up traffic, then that would be more justified than just jaywalking. But that's one of the problems we recognize as being one of the problems in that neighborhood. And that's why we started a program to build sidewalks in that area and put streetlights. And some of that's already been done, and it will be continuing, because that was one of the, did you flash me it or? Nope.
He'll keep holding it if he flashes.
But that's one of the problems that's been in the past, is the congregation in the middle of the street, and it causes a lot of fights and conflict. So that's one of the reasons I got a feeling that if there's tickets being issued, it's because that kind of action, not a simple jaywalking.
Thank you, gentlemen. Candidate Swihart, how does your relationship with the Tea Party affect your nonpartisan status as the mayor of the entire city of Champaign?
Well, I don't know, I have a relationship, but I'm no more than my status as a Republican or a Democrat would. I just happen to be at a Tea Party, and doesn't mean I'm anything, but present at that meeting. But I don't see where it'd have any more negative effect, no matter what party you're affiliated with. But I think it's pretty well known in this community that I'm connected with the Republican Party.
Thank you. Candidate Girard, how do you intend to retain your nonpartisan status if you are elected mayor?
Well, as I noted earlier in my comments about revealing my campaign donors, as the mayor just stated, he is affiliated with the Republican Party, as are a significant number of my campaign contributors. I believe to I am running this campaign as an independent. I have not accepted any financial donations, any financial support from any organized party. And I believe at the municipal level that that is imperative to maintain, because at the municipal level, at the actual core base of our local government, we should be, in the terms of what happened in Boston in the 1700s, we should be Tea Partiers. We should be spend our taxes correctly, keep our taxes low, and keep our services flowing. So as far as I'm concerned, I am a taxpayer, and I want my tax dollars spent correctly. So I think that's about as nonpartisan as you can get.
Thank you. Candidate Girard, do you believe President Obama is an U.S. citizen?
Yes.
Candidate Swihart?
Well, I think my opinion is pretty well known in the community, and I've seen nothing to change that. But I think what you need to do, again, is look at what we've done in the community and not what we say. I have a right to have an opinion, just as you have a right to have your opinion. But in this local community, we have totally redone, and I'm sure some of you in here are old enough to remember Poplar Street. Poplar Street has totally been redone to where it's a nice subdivision now. Mansford Square was a trouble spot with a lot of drugs and shooting. That's been tore down into single-family homes. Birch Village was another problem area. That's been torn down and redone. We have concrete streets throughout that area. We've done a great deal of improvement in the northeast section of Champaign. I've been a part of that. So I think you should look at the actions that's been done and not the verbiage. This is an open question, you know. Only one person can solve it.
Thank you. Candidate Girard.
Same question?
Oh, okay. No, you answered that. Thank you. This will be the last question, gentlemen. Okay. My system off. Candidate Swihart, pardon the delay. If you favor cutting fire and police services, what is the plan for a fire like we had yesterday in an area of Champaign with another working fire in Urbana simultaneously?
We had, first of all, we are not cutting firemen or policemen. The simple thing is we're cutting the front lobby of the police department. There will be plenty of staff to answer questions or service the police officers that are on that shift. There'll be adequate protection if somebody comes to the front door and needs emergency care, so we're not cutting that. We're not cutting at the Champaign Fire Station 4. There's two trucks there. We're cutting one of the trucks so there'll be one truck. Then the fire department can use whichever one the fire calls on. I talked to the fire chief today and asked him just that question, you know, how will this affect on a three-alarm fire? It would actually make us three firemen short in the beginning, but we would have plenty of vehicles to respond, because keep in mind, we've added two new fire stations in my administration, with a lot of additional firemen. But on a three-alarm, while you're initially short three guys, we're bringing in all of our available fire apparatus, plus Urbana, plus University. So there's plenty of avenues to address the fire.
Thank you. Candidate Girard.
Yesterday, when the fire occurred, I spoke to the firemen, and I learned a lot about how our city works. I wasn't aware. But apparently they pulled off the two front desk workers, because those front desk workers were assigned to phoning and contacting any way they could all of the people in the area who may be in jeopardized or had property interests and so forth. So the city mobilized to make sure that everyone in the community is safe. Those are the two positions that the city is looking at cutting. So as long as we have a fire between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., it'll be fine. But if we have one after 7 p.m., then those two people won't be there and that service will not be provided. As far as I'm concerned, in the past 12 years, the city of Champaign has increased by nearly 20,000 in population. We've built, we actually have a skyline now. When you come from, and on the interstate, you see these huge tall buildings. It boggles my mind how we're talking about browning out a fire station. And I've seen things burn, and I don't understand the logic between, well, we'll be three guys short at first, but then we'll catch up. I don't know how you catch up to a fire.
Thank you, gentlemen. This will be your last question. Candidate Gerald, do you have a vision, Gerald, Gerard? Excuse me. Do you have
get it
a,
all the time.
Do you have a vision for the future of Champaign?
I absolutely have a vision for the future of Champaign. Tomorrow I'm meeting with former U of I basketball player Sergio McLean and an independent investor and a friend of mine who is working on developing a baseball project. I have a vision in which the community has a voice. I have a vision in which we develop all five districts and improve our infrastructure and improve our economic growth. I have a vision of working with our local businesses directly and recruiting new businesses. I have a vision of a leader who will go to Springfield and work with Chapin Rose, work with Mike Frericks to help bring back some of the money to the state to help them help us. I have a vision of a future in which we have a leader who will go as far as Washington, D.C. to represent the city on not just a local, not just a state, not just a national, but a global level. My vision for Champaign is that Champaign is a growing, dynamic, forward-thinking community. We're rooted in small-town values, but the opportunities are endless if we just have someone who will take us there.
Thank you. Candidate Swihart?
I just want to, before I address that, I want to address one thing. There was a kind of the insinuation that I'm taking Republican money or Republican backing. I had a meeting with the Republican chairman in the beginning, and I said, I do not want an endorsement, and I do not want your money. This is an independent race, and that would put both of us in bad light. So I have received no money from the organized Republican Party. As far as meeting, we meet on a regular basis, the city manager and I, with all of our state representatives. We do send a contingency out to Washington, D.C. to meet with them. Through the Regional Plan Commission, we set up a group of what the needs are in the community, being high rail and or high-speed rail and such, and meet with the Washington delegation. So this is all being done. And as far as the vision, we've seen part of the vision being accomplished. We took a downtown that was in disrepair. It's a major point of interest now. The campus, we're worked on that from up to 4th Street from Wright Street. Our vision is to complete that so that we have a complete campus. We're working on what we call complete streets in the city of Champaign, so that when we build a street, it includes bicycle and walking paths so they're not walking in danger. So we have a lot of visions. We'll never run out of visions for what we want for Champaign, but the immediate vision is to create an atmosphere where we can bring in more jobs to the community and keep people
Thank
working.
Thank you. At this time, we will entertain closing statements by each of the candidates, and we will begin with candidate Swihart.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you all for holding this. And
sure.
We have had a balanced budget for the last 12 years without raising the city rate for property tax. And we are set to bring in a balanced budget this year without borrowing our way into deeper debt. In the last 10 years, we have seen a 20% increase in the population. In 10 of those years, we saw major growth in housing and new businesses. And I can list some of them projects that have been taking place over the last 12 years. Olympia Drive, Windsor Road, Interstate Drive, Curtis Road, the Boneyard, 2nd Street, Weech. We're working on the John Street watershed and the Washington Street watershed areas. One Main, Two Main, and it goes on and on, 4th and Green in the Midtown. But 10 of those years, we saw this growth. We have had the best trained city staffed in fire and police and public works. The council has always seen that they have the best training and best equipment possible. The council has always been strong supporters of our city workers. However, we have a challenge for the next couple of years to work together as a city and a community so that we'll be set to move ahead without incurring debt. Times are tough now, but working together, we can come out of this a stronger community. I thank you for letting me serve you and look forward to a stronger Champaign. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Candidate Swihart. Candidate Gerard?
Well, I want to thank all the organizers of this event, and I would really especially like to thank the entire community of Champaign. This has been one of the most phenomenal experiences of my life, and it really is a wonderful, wonderful thing to have the type of collateral to walk into any place I want, shake hands with anyone I want, introduce myself, and ask them, what do you think about the city? In the churches, in the coffee shops, the schools, and the restaurants, meeting with activists fighting for social justice, and meeting people at cocktail parties who build big, tall buildings. Meeting people at youth sporting events, basketball and baseball, meeting people just everywhere. It's just been a really, really, really wonderful and phenomenal experience, and I want to thank everybody for allowing me the opportunity. And I hope that in my efforts to bring some democracy to Champaign, to bring a choice for the people, I hope that you will instill your confidence in me that I will be the voice and face of community if I am elected, because I'm very proud of this city and I love this city. I chose to live here for a reason. As I said, I'm running for Champaign because I feel a calling to this public service, and it's a calling to represent this community, to listen to the voices and dignify them, and to respond, and to be diligent and proud and enthusiastic and all those things. Again, thank you so much to everyone. This has really been an amazing, amazing experience for me. And win, lose, or draw, it's opened a lot of doors for me, and I believe it's opened a lot of doors for Champaign. And I promise you, win, lose, or draw, I will continue to walk through those doors with the members of the community and to make our city the best place it can be.
Thank you, Candidate Swihart and Candidate Gerard. That concludes the mayoral portion of the forum. We will now transition to the candidates for Champaign County School Board.